Okay, so every successful small business, you know, eventually hits the same frustrating wall. You've done the work, you've delivered, the customer's happy, but there are payment terms, 60, maybe even 90 days out.
Yeah, that waiting period.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that gap, you have these invoices, technically they're assets, right? But you get zero cash flow right now. It can just choke a business, even a healthy one. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
We've gathered quite a bit of info today. Going to do a deep dive into accounts receivable factoring. It's a pretty powerful tool, really specialized, designed to turn those future payments into cash you can use right now.
Yep. Immediate working capital.
So our goal here is really to explore how it works, the mechanics, the sort of trade-offs involved, and the strategic upside of using factoring to get past those really tough payment cycles.
And it's important right off the bat. People hear financing, they think loan. But factoring, it's fundamentally different.
Okay.
We're talking about the actual sale of your outstanding invoices to a third party, the factor. They give you immediate capital in exchange.
A sale, not a loan. Got it.
Yeah. We're going to walk through exactly how this whole mechanism operates. It's a proven thing. And crucially, why it's often a much better fit for a growing business than taking on traditional debt.
All right, let's start right there with the mechanism. Cash now. Speed and liquidity seem to be the big headlines from our sources. When a business sells an invoice, how much cash do they actually see up front? And like, how fast does it happen?
So the immediate cash you get, the advance rate, it's usually pretty substantial, typically somewhere between, say, 80 and 95% of the invoice's face value.
80 to 95%, wow.
Right. The rest, that small remaining piece, is called the reserve. The factor holds on to that until your customer pays the invoice in full.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the key thing is that main chunk, that 80, 95%, it's available almost instantly. Often, you know, within 24, maybe 48 hours after you submit the invoice.
So you're basically turning a 60-day wait into next-day cash.
Pretty much. Transforms your working capital situation overnight.
That speed is really impressive. I mean, getting 80, 90% of an invoice value in your bank account almost right away, that's huge. But for someone listening, maybe managing a growing company, the really vital question is still, how is this fundamentally different from just, say, getting a short-term bank line of credit or an overdraft? Both give you cash quickly.
Yeah, good question. And the distinction isn't just some technical accounting thing. It's actually profoundly strategic, especially when you're managing your balance sheet for growth.
Oh, yeah.
Factoring is legally defined as the sale of an asset. Remember, you're selling your accounts receivable. You're just getting the money for an asset you already own today instead of waiting, you know, 60 or 90 days.
So wait, if I'm like the finance person trying to keep our books healthy long term, this means I'm not actually signing a loan agreement. I'm not taking on new debt.
Precisely. That's the core strategic advantage, especially for companies focused on growth. Because factoring counts as an asset sale, it doesn't show up on your balance sheet as a new liability. It doesn't increase your overall debt-to-equity ratio. So if you're maybe looking to get traditional bank financing later on, or you're prepping for an equity investment.
Right. You want that balance sheet clean.
Exactly. Keeping that balance sheet clean is absolutely paramount. Factoring solves your immediate cash crunch without messing up your future ability to raise capital.
Okay, that really clarifies the financial angle. But let's bring in a practical point. Traditional bank loans, they're confidential, right? Between you and the bank. Doesn't using a factor mean my customer, the one who owes the money, knows I've sold their invoice? And couldn't selling your receivables, you know, maybe signal to the market or even to that customer that maybe my company's low on cash? Is there like an optics problem here?
That's a really valid point. And honestly, it used to be a much bigger concern maybe a decade or so ago.
Okay.
But the industry's really matured. And today, especially in certain sectors, high growth, high volume ones, factoring is so common. It almost signals the opposite. It shows you're prioritizing speed and scalability. Yeah, factors are generally very professional about managing the collections. And honestly, for large companies, the ones often paying slowly, dealing with a factor is just standard operating procedure for their accounts payable department.
So they're used to it.
They're used to it. And it's also different from things like supply chain finance, where the buyer arranges early payment. Factoring is purely on the seller's side. It's your decision to monetize your asset faster. It's about velocity.
Velocity, good word for it. Okay, so we get the strategic piece, asset sale, not debt. Now let's talk risk and cost. You mentioned that 5 to 20% reserve, and there's also a fee, the factor charges. And you said this cost depends a lot on who's holding the bag if the customer doesn't pay.
Exactly. Risk allocation is key.
Right. And the two main ways this works, the structures that decide who holds that risk, are called recourse and non-recourse factoring.
That's right. Recourse factoring is generally the most common and usually the less expensive option, at least upfront. In a recourse setup, your business, the seller, you keep the ultimate liability if your customer doesn't pay. So if your customer goes bankrupt or just, you know, refuses to pay the factor for some reason.
And I have to make the factor whole.
Yes. You're obligated to buy that bad invoice back from the factor. You're essentially guaranteeing your customer's creditworthiness to the factor.
Okay, so the risk of the customer failing comes back to me, the seller. Which makes sense why it's cheaper the factor isn't taking on that specific credit risk, just the, I guess, the process risk.
Exactly. Now, non-recourse factoring, as the name suggests, flips that risk completely.
Okay.
In this case, the factor assumes the credit risk. So if your original customer defaults specifically due to declared insolvency or bankruptcy, usually the factor takes the loss, not your business.
So that sounds kind of like built-in insurance against your customer going under. If I pick non-recourse, I guess I can sleep a bit easier about that specific risk, but I'm assuming that protection comes at a price. That fee is going to be higher.
It is, generally, yes. Because, think about it, the factor now has to do serious credit homework on your customer, not just on your business processes. They're pricing in the risk of taking an actual loss.
Makes sense.
So let's look at the actual cost, the fee itself. The typical range we see is somewhere between 1% and maybe 5% of the total invoice value.
1% to 5%, that's a range.
It is.
Yeah.
But what makes the difference between paying 1% versus 5%? That's where the details really matter.
Right. What are the key variables that push that cost up or down?
There are really three main things that determine where you fall in that range. First, invoice volume and size. Factors, like most businesses, prefer scale. If you're sending them lots of invoices consistently or your average invoice amount is pretty large, you'll generally get better, lower rates.
Economy of scale. Got it.
Second, and this one's maybe the most critical, your customer's credit quality, the debtor. The better, the more reliable, the more financially stable your customer is, the lower the risk for the factor. And so the lower your fee.
So factoring invoices from, say, a big Fortune 500 company will cost less than factoring invoices from a small local startup.
Almost certainly, yes. Big difference in perceived risk there.
Okay. And the third factor?
Third is the length of the payment term. This really comes down to the time value of money and risk exposure over time. The factor's capital is tied up for longer on a 90-day invoice than on a 30-day one.
Right. More time for things to go wrong.
Exactly. So a 90-day invoice will almost always cost more to factor than a 30-day invoice. Their cost of funds is higher for that longer period, too. You might also see slight adjustments based on the industry risk profile, you know, if it's a particularly volatile sector.
Okay. That clarifies the cost structure.
Yeah.
Volume, customer credit, and time.
And if we connect this back to the bigger picture, that cost, even if it edges towards the higher end, say 5%, is often seen as totally worth it because of the incredible scalability factoring offers.
Scalability? How so?
Well, unlike a traditional loan where you have to reapply and go through underwriting every time you need more money, factoring funding grows automatically with your sales. Sell more, factor more. Mm. The funding limit is tied directly to the quality and volume of your receivables, not some historical assessment of your company.
Ah, so it flexes up as your sales grow without needing new loan applications.
Precisely. It fuels growth rather than potentially capping it.
Now, our sources were really specific about a couple of industries where factoring isn't just helpful, it's almost essential. They called out staffing and logistics. Both seem to have this built-in mismatch. Immediate costs they have to cover, but slow payments from big clients. Let's dig into why factoring is such a lifeline there.
Yeah, great examples. Let's take staffing first. The huge operational challenge there is immediate weekly payroll.
Right. People need to get paid Friday.
Exactly. Staffing agencies might have hundreds, even thousands of temporary workers out on assignment each week. That payroll cost hits now. It's non-negotiable, has to be met.
But the big corporation they're supplying staff to, they might be on net 45, net 60-day payment terms.
Correct. So the staffing agency is essentially fronting the cash, acting like an interest-free lender to their own client for, you know, potentially 2 months. That's tough.
Very tough if you're trying to grow.
Absolutely. Factoring provides that critical buffer. The staffing firm submits its invoice on Friday, gets maybe 90% of the cash by Monday or Tuesday.
Makes payroll,
and crucially, has the confidence and the capital to accept the next big contract. They don't have to turn down growth because they're waiting on cash from the last job. It's a perfect illustration of factoring enabling really fast growth in a super cash-intensive business.
Okay, that makes total sense for staffing. And logistics, you mentioned freight hauling specifically. Similar dynamic, but maybe driven more by volatile operating costs like fuel.
Absolutely. Think about a trucking company, especially a smaller carrier. The immediate costs are enormous. Diesel fuel is thousands of dollars per truck per week. Then there's maintenance, insurance, driver pay.
All upfront costs.
All upfront. They complete a haul, deliver the goods, get the bill of lading signed, submit the invoice, waiting 45, 60 days for that payment. It can be catastrophic if they need fuel money today to send that truck out on the next paying job.
Yeah, the truck sitting idle costs money too.
Exactly right. Factoring gives them the working capital they need right now to fuel up, pay the driver, and take the next load immediately without waiting for the payment from the last one to clear. It ensures those expensive assets, the trucks, are constantly generating revenue, not parked waiting for cash flow. It's about operational efficiency, measured in hours and days, not weeks. Gives smaller guys the agility to compete.
This deep dive has really brought a lot of clarity to something that can sound, you know, kind of complex from the outside. So summing up then, what does this all mean?
Yeah, let's synthesize.
For that business owner, maybe listening right now, staring at that pile of invoices from big, slow-paying customers, accounts receivable factoring really offers, I think, three core benefits we've hit on.
Yeah.
First, immediate cash, getting that 80 to 95% advance fast. Mm-hmm. Second, and this is critical, avoiding new debt. Because remember, you're selling an asset, not borrowing.
Yeah.
Keeps the balance sheet cleaner.
Super important strategically.
And third, it's a funding source that scales up naturally right alongside your sales growth without constant reapplications.
It fuels the growth engine.
Right.
And, you know, as we wrap up, it really brings up an important kind of final thought for you, the listener, to consider about your own business's financial philosophy.
Okay.
We talked a lot about the explicit cost, that 1 to 5% factoring fee, right? Which depends on the risk, the term length, all that. But to really evaluate if factoring makes sense for you, you absolutely have to weigh that fee against the hidden cost, the cost of waiting.
The opportunity cost.
Precisely. That waiting period, those 60, 90 days,
yeah,
it creates this huge opportunity cost. You've got to ask yourself, what deals am I not taking? What growth opportunities am I putting on hold? What supplier discounts am I missing out on simply because my cash is tied up in those receivables?
Mm. Good question.
Sometimes paying that relatively small percentage fee to get cash now to gain that speed and agility is actually the single most valuable investment you can make, because the cost of just standing still, of stagnating while you wait for checks, can be far, far greater than the factor's fee.
That's a really powerful point to end on, thinking about the cost of not acting. Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into accounts receivable factoring. Lots to think about there.